Fixed-price contracts don't always have to go to the lowest bidder, not if a higher bidder can offer more value. That's the gist of a landmark decision from the Government Accountability Office. It ruled against protesters to the Alliant 2 government-wide acquisition contract the General Services Administration is trying to establish. Joining me to explain the decision, procurement attorney Joseph Petrillo of Petrillo & Powell. And Joe, this was really, I think, a great surprise maybe to a lot of people watching this procurement, but it seems to really uphold a new approach being taken by GSA. Tell us more about it.
Sure. Yes, this is a decision that hasn't been reached before by GAO in terms of whether or not this particular procurement method is appropriate. This really is GSA's latest response to the question of how do you determine who wins when you have a multiple award IDIQ service contract and there aren't any orders to be awarded. So how do you evaluate price when you're really not pricing out anything other than perhaps individual hours of labor? Alliant is intended to be at one of these big government-wide IDIQs for information technology services. It's supposed to support both fixed price, cost plus, and other types of task orders. It's available for use by multiple federal agencies. And the evaluation scheme that GSA came up with was they were going to take the highest technical rated proposals, take the highest 60 of them out of the bidding companies, and then determine if those 60 each had fair and reasonable prices. They would look at the price in terms of the pricing. They would look at fixed rates, cost elements, direct, fringe, indirect, etc., and the explanation for the pricing. The offeror didn't have a fair and reasonable price, it would be eliminated, and the next in line would be considered for award. Also innovative was the evaluation scheme for the technical proposals. That was based entirely on a point scoring system. A certain number of points were available depending on one's experience, clearances, certifications, etc. If you met the requirement, you got the points, and you self-scored, then GSA would verify the score from your documentation.
I think a big question contractors are going to have is, how is this different from lowest price technically acceptable, which they've been complaining about for years now?
Sure. Well, we're not looking here at the lowest price at all. We're looking at who's got the highest point score in this evaluation system. And if you have that highest point score, your price need only be fair and reasonable, not low. So it's in some ways the opposite of the lowest price technically acceptable method. Protesters attacked the solicitation on various grounds. And first they said, well, look, you can't just select the highest rated technically rated offerors for award. But the GAO said, no, that's specifically mentioned in the FAR, even though it hasn't really been done very much. And so that's perfectly okay. And even if it hadn't been, it isn't prohibited. The next attack was that, are we really considering price when we do this fair and reasonable evaluation? And the statute requires that price be considered and not merely as in a nominal way. But GAO found that the GSA's announced evaluation process was sufficient. Specifically, it said that GSA was not required to conduct a price technical trade-off, because the RFP didn't require it, and the FAR didn't require it either when the highest-rated technical proposal is selected.
So everything is legally kosher here and also meets the federal acquisition regulations.
Absolutely. It meets federal acquisition regulation. In this instance, meets the Competition and Contracting Act in terms of evaluating price. Another objection was that GSA wasn't even considering the price of offerors who were not in this top 60. The statute there, however, it's interesting, it was worded in a certain way. The statute says that price or cost needs to be considered to the government, the cost or price to the government. And so GAO interpreted that to mean that if only the awardee's prices are considered, that's sufficient. So price to the government means you can look at the awardee prices and ignore the other ones.
We're speaking with Joseph Petrillo, a procurement attorney with Petrillo & Powell. Now, these awards rather, these protests were all conducted pre-award, correct?
Absolutely. If you don't protest the terms of a solicitation, you're too late. You're too late at GAO, you're too late at the court. And so these were filed before offers were submitted and are now being decided. The procurement is ongoing.
And can those companies that protested, can they still have the opportunity to change their approach and maybe get in under the criteria as affirmed by the Government Accountability Office?
Well, presumably they've already submitted their proposal, so that's not going to happen unless GSA opens the procurement for discussions and revised proposals. So we'll see what actually plays out there.
They could do a best and final, couldn't they? Or is that not
they certainly could. Yeah, there's nothing in this system that would prohibit it. But I'm not quite sure what you'd discuss with offerors because they're just filling out this self-scoring matrix. I don't see why you would necessarily need discussions unless there's something to talk about in that.
The offer period is closed now, and GSA is evaluating the offers. They plan to award this before the middle of this coming calendar year.
I'm not sure what the schedule is, but there's no reason why they can't proceed as planned and make the awards. Of course, those award decisions will themselves be subject to protest if someone thinks that they weren't done properly.
Sounds like GSA has done its homework with respect to what it wants out of the procurement and to avoid that LPTA kind of conundrum that has been so troublesome.
Well, that's right. I mean, this system was also used in the OASIS procurements or similar system, but no one protested that. Now we know that this particular one is appropriate. One of the interesting issues that came up with, again, GAO denied, was, is it enough to have 60 offerors here, 60 contractors? There were about that many in the Alliant 1 vehicle, but a study of that showed that about half of the task orders had only one bidder. So is 60 enough to get competition? And, you know, if you think about it, if you're just looking at fair and reasonable pricing, the only way you're going to get better prices is if you do compete, it seems, the various task orders. GSA tried to address that by adding requirements to this vehicle, Alliant 2, that offerors submit a minimum number of proposals annually, and every Alliant 2 awardee must receive a certain value of task orders to stay in the programs. And that number of task orders ramps up to be greater and greater each year. If you look at the minimum number of task orders in the out years and multiply them by the 60 awardees, it looks like they're trying to press about $2 billion worth of sales through this vehicle. And a very interesting approach.
Yeah, and they don't want contractors on there just taking up space if they're not going to bid.
Exactly. So GAO held that these new methods were adequate to assure competition at the level of 60 contractors, and they rejected that ground of protest as well.
And now we just wait for the awards. Joe Petrillo is a procurement attorney with Petrillo and Powell. As always, thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.
Find out more about the Alliant 2 and a link to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.